Well, it's wonderful to be back again. I was here a few months ago, and this church holds a special place in my heart because it was at the original, or the first Unity on Bates and Grand, that I was introduced to Unity. I walked in that church, and my life changed forever. So a lot has happened with you all, this beautiful new church, and I know Lila Fisher was the minister when I was there, and I noticed on your website now you still have some of her talks, so that's interesting. So thank you for inviting me back. And I'd like to begin by reading from the Gospel of Luke about the transfiguration of Jesus, or the transformation of Jesus. And this is in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9. It says that Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up to the mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his countenance was altered, and he became dazzling white. And behold, two men talked with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure. Now Peter and those who were with him were heavy with sleep, and when they awakened, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were parting, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is well that we are all here. Let us make three booths, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he had said. And as he said this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were afraid. And then a voice came from the cloud and said, "This is my son, listen to him." Dazzling white, what a light show that must have been. Well, I'd like to take you back to a time when I witnessed a light show. About 17 years ago, or maybe longer now, I was home one night and I had a call from my daughter. She said, "Would you like to go to Disney World with us, with the grandkids?" I thought, oh my gosh, would I like to go to Disney World? No. With my grandkids? Yes. How exciting that was. So we went to Disney World, and probably the highlight of the whole trip is when we went one evening to watch the Parade of Lights. Have any of you ever been to Disney World and seen the Parade of Lights? Isn't it amazing? Over a million white lights, and it's a parade of floats and different characters who walk by, and you can hear from the people standing on the street as they pass, people just, Well, I looked down at my Sydney, who was 3 years old at the time, and there she was with her eyes wide open, her mouth open, her hands clapping, jumping up and down and squealing, oh my, oh my, oh my. I'll never forget that moment. And of course, the family who was with her, there wasn't a dry eye seeing the excitement, what she was experiencing that. And the first time I read this story about the transfiguration and the disciples watching that as Jesus gave them a light show, I thought about that moment. So this is a story about transformation and change, yes, but also a story about experiencing God, about experiencing how God can move in and through us and make us that dazzling, radiant light. So let's look at the story, the questions here. Why did Jesus go up the mountain? Who did he take with him? Why did he take them? What was the purpose? What is it that he wanted them to see? And then what happened when they came down from the mountain? Well, what do we think of when we talk about going to the mountain, a mountaintop experience? You know, we hear many accounts of Jesus going apart for a while, going to the mountains to pray, that high place. So we think about a mountaintop experience as a place high in consciousness. And then who did he take with him? The disciples, Peter and John and James. Now, these seem to be the disciples that Jesus hangs out with the most. They were even the ones that he asked to wait with him in the Garden of Gethsemane. What do we think of in unity when we think of these three disciples? I know you've all studied the 12 powers, so I'm going to give you a little test here. What does Peter represent? Faith, yes. What does John represent? Love. What does James represent? Wisdom. Faith, love, wisdom. Those disciples, those attributes that he took with him up to that mountain to pray. And two, these were the disciples who were willing. When Jesus first started his ministry and started calling his disciples, the first two he called were Peter and his brother Andrew, who were fishermen. And we read that they dropped their nets and they willingly followed. And then later he called James and John, two brothers. And they too were fishermen. And they dropped their nets and followed. So that willingness to follow, to leave what we're doing now and follow. So all those attributes, those qualities, metaphysically we look at that Jesus took up that mountain to pray. And what is it that he wanted them to see? To experience the moment, to experience God, to experience the light. So how does this relate to us? This comes the good part, right? This is what everybody wants to know. How's this my story? You know, something can be on pages, a story from 2,000 years ago, and if we can't somehow relate it to our life, to 2016, to what we're doing, it doesn't have a lot of meaning for us. It's just a story, and we're an observer. But to be a participant, to experience this story, we look at it, as we do in Unity, at all these stories in the Bible. This is our story. These characters, these situations are us. The lessons are lessons for us right now. So making this story our own, I believe everyone wants to experience more of God. Don't you? And what happens when we do that? We experience more joy, more peace, more harmony, more love, more of all that's good and wonderful. Experiencing more of God, not just sitting in a church pew on Sunday and observing, although that's a very good thing too. But experiencing it, making it a part of our life. And how do we in our life experience more of God? Well, we look at this story. What did Jesus do? He prayed. So for us, the biggest how-to for anything that we want in our life is prayer and meditation, that place where we commune with God, where we sit and listen and soak up what the universe wants to teach us, wants to tell us, how to guide us. So to go to that place of prayer and meditation. And then to be willing, just like the disciples were willing, to drop our nets. Nets that may be full of unforgiving thoughts, or bitterness, or anger, or any of those things that we carry around with us that truly keep us from experiencing God. It puts a wall between us. So to be able and willing to drop those nets, let them go, and then to follow the Christ that we are, each and every one of us, a radiant, beautiful Christ light. And then to cultivate what those three disciples represented, to cultivate within us faith, which means seeing the possibility, which means saying yes, to cultivate love. Again, letting go of anything that's keeping us from loving. And metaphysically, we describe love as that harmonizer, that which binds us. It's like a magnet. And the more we love, the more we're drawn to that spiritual part of us, to that God in us. And then wisdom, represented by James. To have the wisdom to know what to let go of. The wisdom to know to step out in faith. The wisdom to know to love. And then to realize that we can't put a box around what it's like to experience God. We all experience God in different ways. I experience God in a much different way, I'm sure, than you do, or you do. There's a wonderful story of George Lamsa. Any of you who've been in Unity for a long time probably remember him. He wrote or put together the Aramaic Bible. Anyone remember him? Gosh, I am getting old. Well, back in the 60s in Unity, he was a very big deal. A Bible scholar who really translated the Bible from Jesus' language, Aramaic. Since then, it's been a bit discredited, so we don't talk about that translation too much because there were a lot of errors that we found, but nonetheless, it was very exciting at the time. And he tells the story of being on an airplane. And you know how it is when you're on an airplane and you're sitting next to someone. I mean, if they're friendly and you're friendly, you've got a conversation going on and you get to know each other a little bit. And he said, so the man next to him said, and what do you do? He said, well, I'm a Bible student. What do you do? I'm an astronomer. Oh. Well, then the astronomer tells Lamsa, you know, I don't believe in God. And I can tell you from being a minister, anytime someone asks you what you do and you say, well, I'm a minister, and things they might tell you are, well, you know, I haven't been in church in a while, but I'm going to start going, like I care, right? Or, you know, I don't really believe in God. Well, you know, I don't think God cares. God's who God is, and that's it. So he's telling this story to Lamsa. And then Lamsa asked him, he kind of turns the tables, he said, so now tell me what it's like when you look through your telescope out into the galaxy. And this man starts to tell him all the technical things. Well, you see this and that, and you know, you can see far enough to see this planet, and it's far away from this one. And then Lamsa said, well, I didn't ask you what you saw, I asked you what you feel. And the man looked at him and said, feel? I feel, wow, look at what I'm looking at. And Lamsa looked at him and said, bingo, that's God. That's the experience of God without wrapping all the labels around it. One of my doctors, I love going to because we end up having a long time of conversation. He loves to talk about theology and tell me what he's doing. And so I try to turn the tables there again. And the last time I saw him, he said, you know, I go to all the high holy days. He's Jewish. And he said, not that I believe them, but just in case this is right. I want to be covered. So that's good. So then we start talking about what happens to him when he's in surgery, because he does a lot of surgeries. I said, what is that like for you? He said, you know, it is quite an experience because something just comes over me. He said, it's as though something is guiding my hand when I take that scalpel. And I went, wait, could that be God? Oh, yeah, it could be. The experience, not the labels, none of that, but the experience. So we all experience God in many different ways. And it is merely just being in touch with and knowing the truth of who we are, that razzling, dazzling, bright light, that Christ connected to God, one with God, one with love, one with faith, one with wisdom. And then let's go back now to the story of Jesus and the disciples on the mountain. When they came down the mountain after that wonderful experience, and we can just imagine that John and Peter and James were still standing there with their mouths open after what they had witnessed, just like Sydney was. When they get down to the bottom of the mountain, the rest of the disciples come racing over to them and saying, oh, we're glad you're here, because while you were gone, someone told us that there's a little boy who is dying and needs to be healed. We didn't know what to do. So Jesus went to the child and healed him, and the disciples are looking on and saying, we don't understand. Why couldn't we do that? And Jesus said to them, this can only be done through prayer. I thought that was a beautiful, profound line. Just what they had been doing. Prayer, communing with God, realizing his oneness with God, who he was, who we are. And so just as the disciples came down the mountain with what they had learned and seen to demonstrate in their lives, that we are called to do the same. So the more of God that we experience in our life, the more love, the more faith, the more wisdom, the more power, all of those wonderful things, we don't just keep them close to our chest, but we live them. We are them. That we are the hands, the feet, the voice, the ears, the love, the compassion, the mercy of God in this world. And when we experience who we are, to go out and live that and be that. And if any of us listen to the news these days, either the national news or the international news, we're aware that this world right now needs a lot of light, right? A lot of light. And where does that light come from? It doesn't just fall out of the sky. But it comes from those of us who have, through prayer, through meditation, through calling on the faith we have, the love we are, the wisdom we have, to experience more of God, to experience more of our connection, our oneness with God. And the more we do that, the brighter our light will shine. And the brighter our individual lights shine, the more light there will be in the world. And I truly believe that we are called to be a point of peace and a place of light in this world. Thank you.